Breakfast Show. It's 60 minutes past 8, B52 is to start the hour. Play that one for Louise, who woke up to it and liked it. So happy to start your Monday off in the best way, Louise. NASA's assembled the first of its powerful space launch systems, SLS rockets, which will carry humans to the moon this decade. Engineers at Florida's Kennedy Space Center finished lowering the 65-meter tall core stage in between two smaller booster rockets. It's the first time all three key elements of the rocket have been together in their launch configuration. NASA plans to launch the SLS on its maiden flight later this year. During this mission, known as Artemis 1, the SLS will carry Orion, America's next-generation crew vehicle, towards the moon, but no astronauts will be aboard. Engineers want to put both the rocket and the spaceship through their paces before humans are allowed on in 2023. It's getting closer.
It certainly is.
Now, the SLS consists of the giant core stage, which houses propellants, tanks and four powerful engines, flanked by two 54-metre-long solid rocket boosters. They provide most of the thrust force that propels the SLS off the ground in the first 2 minutes of flight. It's pretty impressive. It's huge. Over Friday and Saturday, teams at Kennedy Space Center used a heavy lift crane to first hoist the core stage, transfer it from a horizontal to a vertical position, and then lower it into place between the SRBs on a structure called the Mobile Launcher. This structure currently resides inside the huge cuboid vehicle assembly building. The Mobile Launcher allows access to the SLS for testing, checkouts and servicing. It will also transfer the giant rocket to the launch pad. Yeah, where do you get those things serviced? You can't take it down speedy, can you?
Are you the mystery bidder, though?
Who what, is the $28 million?
Yeah, is it you?
No.
No?
I haven't got $28 million. I've only got 26 and a half, and Jeff Bezos said that wasn't enough.
Well, did he? It's going to be soon, isn't it? 20th of July.
Yes. Yes. Just for 10 seconds in of weightlessness on the Earth's outer edge, which I found out what it was called. Is it the Casper line or something?
I think what, it's called the Blue Origin rocket?
No, the Casper line. It's the line which divides...
Oh, where they're going to go?
No, space. The start of space from the Earth's atmosphere.
Right.
I think it's called the Casper line. I was reading about it on Saturday. Sounds interesting, doesn't it?
Mm.
I'd rather go to the moon, I think.
The Press Review is brought to you by BMW Côte d'Azur.
Guardian says Boris Johnson sought to defend the deal struck by G7 leaders at the Cornwall summit as Green Group's anti-poverty campaigner said the rich nations club had failed to match the scale of the challenges facing the world. The final communique contains no early timetable to eradicate coal-fired emissions, offered only 1 billion extra coronavirus vaccines for the world's poor over the next 12 months, and made no new binding commitments to challenge China's human rights abuses. Campaigners expressed profound disappointment at the failure to attach new cash to the communique's aspirations to end the pandemic, build back better and tackle the climate emergency. Oxfam's head of inequality policy, Max Lawson, said never in the history of the G7 has there been a bigger gap between their actions and the needs of the world. We don't need to wait for history to judge this summit a colossal failure. It is plain for all to see.
In this morning's Le Monde, the award of a share of French League television rights to Amazon has sparked a furious boycott from the other winning bidder, Canal Plus. France's League had just announced the rights to show League One games were attributed to Amazon and Canal Plus in a deal worth €663 million before Canal Plus said it was withdrawing. Canal Plus said it was not prepared to share the rights with Amazon.
The age-old problem of postmen and dogs makes the USA today. While 2020 wasn't the best year for anyone, it was especially tough for United States Postal Service employees, as the agency said thousands of mail carriers were attacked by dogs in the past year. The Postal Service said that more than 5,800 employees were attacked by dogs last year, from nips and bites to vicious attacks. Aggressive dog behaviour poses a serious threat to postal employees and the general public, said the service.
And in this morning's Figaro, according to France's Director of Health, Jérôme Solomon, the wearing of a mask outdoors could be lifted in France on June the 30th. Solomon added that if all goes well, authorities will remove the obligation to wear a mask outdoors. However, it would remain indoors. The news comes as the number of patients hospitalised in France continues to decline, along with the number of deaths, with Public Health France reporting 13 deaths from COVID in the last 24 hours.
Getting a bit stuffy behind those masks outside, isn't it, with the hot weather? BBC World Service News live from London is coming up next, the full English breakfast show.
The Press Review, brought to you by BMW, Nice Premium Motors, Bayonne Avenue Cannes and BMW Store Monaco. Boost your business with the Business Drive BMW range. Find all the BMW Business Drive offers at your car dealer.
Well, we ended Friday with a hat trick. Let's see if we can carry it on a Monday morning. I don't think so, somehow.
Oh, why not? Why not? Oh, come on. Positive thinking here. That's question number one in this morning's pop quiz, when it decides to show. Yes, is. On this day in 1986, which Irish singer-songwriter and political activist was named in the Queen's Birthday Honours List, receiving an honorary knighthood in recognition of his humanitarian
Sir
activities?
Sir Bob Geldof.
Certainly was. He rose to fame as lead singer, of course, in the Irish rock band in the late 1970s. That was a clue, but you got it before that.
Does he like being called Sir Bob, or does he just prefer Bob?
Bob. Question number two. 16 years later, on this day in 2002, this UK singer-songwriter became a Sir. It was claimed that the Queen avoided personally giving him his knighthood.
Mick Jagger.
Yes, because she... Why? Why did she...
Yeah, because he's a nasty rock and roller.
She thought it was he was an inappropriate candidate for the honour.
She thought he was an inappropriate candidate,
yeah, apparently.
Because he has sort of radically cleaned himself up since the 1970s.
He certainly has, brushes up well.
I still think Keith Richards should get a knighthood.
And finally, this British singer-songwriter, DJ, fashion designer, photographer, was born on this day in 1961. And in 1984, on this day, a waxwork of him was unveiled at Madame Tussauds in London. He was lead singer of a group which scored the 1983 UK number one. As a solo artist, he scored a number one in 1987. What was it? And your final clue is he was also a coach on The Voice UK in 2016.
Is it Phil Collins?
No.
A DJ. Gary Barlow?
No. 1961 he was born. Lead singer of a group that had a... In the 80s they were big. 1983, UK number one.
Simon Le Bon?
No. You're getting closer. Well, kind of.
One of Spandau Ballet?
No. Come on, you had Spandau Ballet, you had Wham, you had Duran Duran. Who else did you have in the 80s?
Oh, Culture Club.
Yes.
Boy George.
Correct. Happy birthday, Boy George.
Right, and what song is it?
Well, it was number one. Can you tell me what it was in 1987 as a solo artist?
Everything I Own.
Correct. Mm. There you go, you see. That's a hat trick.
Well, Everything I Own, isn't it? Not everyone I own. it wasn't quite a hat. No, come on, you can't give me a hat trick for that.
Oh, all right. Two and a half.
Saw him playing down at... where was it? We saw him in Monaco a few years ago at the Grand Prix. He was doing a set at... I can't remember exactly what... sort of Past La Vosso there on the beach. It was very good, actually. Very good. He's wearing a great big hat. He likes great big hats, doesn't he?
Riviera Radio. Business.
Morning.
Good morning.
We missed you on Friday.
Yes, I'm sorry about that.
Was it down to Carbis Bay delivering a few Cornish pasties and then getting back in time for the football?
The football was all right, actually. There was such a sort of low build-up to the Euros, wasn't it? But actually, it seems to have sort of caught people's imagination a little bit more and got off to a good start, of course, for England. God's last touch, he created the Dutch. Of course, they are looking wonderful. They are looking
terrific. Well, I don't
terrific.
Know about that. They shouldn't have... Yeah, they came pretty close against Ukraine,
Super
didn't they?
Super game yesterday.
Yeah.
Doing very well.
Yeah. I don't know, what do you make of England? I thought they played quite well, actually.
Yeah, but you got to score, don't you? You know, playing well is one thing.
Well, they did score.
But they had about 10 gilded chances.
Yes.
I mean, if you put that into, you know, you calculate it, doesn't give you a great ratio, quite frankly. They will need to be more ruthless as the competition goes on.
Well, it was just the first game, so let's give them a chance.
I don't think we've won a first game in a tournament.
No, that's
for
right.
50 years, wasn't it?
Did you have a Big Joe Cornish pasty while you were in Cornwall?
Is that the Biden Big Joe one?
The Biden Big Joe, yeah.
What's in that?
Well, it's meat and potatoes and whatever else stuff you put
lots
in a Cornish pasty.
Lots of boring.
Diced carrots.
full of exciting things.
Yeah,
will
I
it
mean,
work out?
Lots of photo opportunities of the G7. Bit short on substance, maybe?
I think so. Listen, it was billed as an international summit that would create a breakthrough on vaccine pledges for low-income countries, a united crackdown on the likes of China and Russia. Did they hit those goals? Well, fell short, certainly, of the vaccine goal. There was hopes for 1 billion. It came in at 613 million new doses in terms of pledge. Failure to reach a consensus on how to counter China's increasing economic power. No mention there of forced labour or anything nasty like that. Calls for increased infrastructure investment to compete with China's Belt and Road Initiative, but it was all a little bit weak. The tone, I think, was perhaps important. There was this idea of a transformation in global politics as you move from Trump to the Biden administration. So it's positive from a multilateral perspective, I suppose, the rebuilding of the global order, commitments to tackle climate change agenda. But as you look through the 25-page communique, long in terms of principles, you say rather short in terms of specific actions.
And Boris Johnson appeared to brush off Emmanuel Macron's Napoleon Act, but he must be fairly thankful that he didn't get a good slap from Joe Biden as well.
It was all, people sort of, you know, look at these photos and who touched who, how did, you know, is that handshake or an elbow bump or was it, you know, an arm around the shoulder, and what does this mean for global relationships and trading opportunities and all these types of things. I think, listen, these leaders show up, they enjoy the barbecue. I think the heavy lifting's done well before these events take place.
Okay, you weren't here on Friday, so we didn't have a chance to reflect on the latest US inflation report. Markets actually hovering at near record highs this morning.
Yeah, it's quite interesting, actually. Markets were expecting elevated numbers. The print didn't disappoint, exceed economists' forecast by some margin. To remind you, CPI rose 5% year-on-year, the largest gain since 2008. And that's the time when, of course, crude was trading $150 a barrel. Core inflation rose 3.8% on an annualised basis, the fastest gain since 1992. Increased costs, the figures are distorted by base effects, but was primarily driven by rising prices for used cars, for airfares, for household goods and apparel. I think the report highlights the reopening of the economy is creating some transitory price pressures in affected categories. In fact, if you, without the rises in those four segments, headline and core inflation is estimated to only have been up around about 0.3% month on month. But there is some firming of underlying inflationary pressure, and I think we need to start taking that into account. Peak CPI forecasts have been revised higher. Now look for core inflation to be at 4.1% at the end of this year, but then easing back through 2022 to finish next year, I think, at 2.2%. Market reaction, I thought, was really interesting. Look at bond market. This is particularly, of course, relevant when it comes to expectations around policy. Bond market signals that investors are buying into the belief that the spike in inflation will indeed be temporary. 10-year Treasury yields fell 9.7 basis points last week. That's its steepest weekly decline since the June 12th, 2020. And on Thursday, remember, hit its lowest level since March the 2nd at 1.43%. I think we're back to 1.46 this morning, actually.
Yes, and as the economy starts to reopen, so the oil prices rise. In fact, Goldman Sachs saying on Friday they think that Brent will be at $80 sometime this summer.
Yeah, demand is certainly picking up. There's no doubt about that. We've seen inventory levels falling in the likes of the United States, and we've still got OPEC playing out its game in terms of slowly releasing supplies back into the market. When you take that into account and the return of Iranian oil perhaps at some point, then supply and demand dynamics coming back into play. But we certainly see more elevated oil price as the year goes on, and certainly getting stronger into the fourth quarter at the end of this year. So certainly see that in markets. As you say, equity markets also performing well. Friday, the S&P notched up its first all-time high since early May, was up 0.4% over the week. Nasdaq rose for a sixth straight session on Friday. European stocks rose for a fourth straight week, also hitting a new historical high. It's up 1.1% over the course of last week. Cyclicals leading the way. Opening calls on the European bourses looking positive this morning. Currently calling FTSE up 16 points. DAX over in Frankfurt also up 16 points. CAC 40 in Paris up 54 points. Focus this week, of course, will be on the Federal Reserve meeting on Wednesday.
Foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against dollar 141. Euro dollar coming in at 121. €1.16 for your British pound this morning.
You're going to skive off and watch the Scotland match this afternoon?
No, what time is that on?
3 o'clock.
Okay, no. When's England, Scotland? Friday, something like that?
Oh, I don't know. But I'm definitely going to be watching that one.
That'll be the one to watch for in our group stage, at least.
Okay, talk to you tomorrow. Thank you.
Have a good day.
Hank Potts and Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyce has the top stories across the Riviera.
The number of hospitalised patients and deaths from COVID continues to decline in France, with Public Health France reporting 13 deaths from COVID in the last 24 hours. 12,480 patients are currently in hospital. That's the lowest figure since mid-October. And 2,106 are in intensive care. 2,855 new cases have been identified over the last 24 hours, compared to more than 5,000 recorded the previous Sunday. 30.25 million people have received at least one injection of the COVID vaccine, and 15.76 million are now fully vaccinated. From tomorrow, Tuesday the 15th of June, the vaccination campaign will be open to all 12 to 17-year-olds. In other news, a young man has been stabbed in the back following a fight in Cagnes-sur-Mer. The incident occurred in the early hours of Sunday morning on the Avenue de Nice in Cagnes-sur-Mer. Police have opened an investigation to determine the exact circumstances surrounding the stabbing. Meanwhile, it was not a good weekend on the region's roads, with three motorcyclists killed in the Var and the Alpes-Maritimes. Emergency services have called for caution following the deaths of two men and a woman. Six other serious road accidents were also reported. According to the Maritime Prefecture, oil pollution off Corsica has drifted to the south of the island on Sunday. The pollution was detected on Friday and stretched in two layers over 35 kilometres as French authorities launched a plan at the weekend to protect the coast, including a ban on going to certain beaches in the east coast of the island. An investigation has been opened by the Marseille Public Prosecutor's Office. At this point, three ships present in the area around the pollution are to be checked. Firefighters in the Bouches-du-Rhône have called for vigilance as the region enters the season of forest fires. 20 hectares of land was destroyed in a blaze in Arles at the weekend. With the hot weather, lack of rain accompanied by strong winds, firefighters have called on the public to be extra careful. Warmer temperatures were felt across France at the weekend and will continue today with highs of 30 degrees. Météo France predicting up to 34 degrees in Toulouse. Thousands of people have marched across France against the rise of the far right. Protesters marched in 140 towns at the weekend in La Marche des Libertés to denounce what they called attacks on freedom due to the rise in support for far-right parties and laws that they say are killing freedoms. Meanwhile, police in Paris have arrested a man suspected of pelting flour at French far-right left political figure Jean-Luc Mélenchon during the march. A second man was also placed in police custody. The suspect has been charged with voluntary violence over the incident.
The Euro 2020, brought to you by West Nautical, the experts in superyacht charter sales and management. Make your yachting experience the best it can be by contacting our multi-language experts today on 3348902 7211 or email info@westnautical.com.
The Danish team doctor says that Christian Eriksen suffered a cardiac arrest when he collapsed in the match against Finland on Saturday night. The former Spurs midfielder is stable in hospital and has sent greetings to his national teammates. The 29-year-old collapsed shortly before half-time in Denmark's opening Euro 2020 fixture against Finland. Dr. Morten Boesen said he was gone. We did cardiac resuscitation. It was a cardiac arrest. He added the reason it happened has not yet been explained. On the pitch, three games in the tournaments on Sunday. England got their campaign in Group D underway with a 1-0 victory over Croatia at Wembley. In Group C, Austria beat North Macedonia 3-1 and the Netherlands beat Ukraine 3-2. Three more games today. Scotland play their opening game against the Czech Republic at 3 p.m. And in Group E, Poland plays Slovakia and Spain plays Sweden. Here's more from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Paul Serres at the BBC Sports Centre. Manchester City forward Raheem Sterling got the only goal of the game as England beat Croatia in their opening match of Euro 2020. Sterling was delighted to have scored his first goal at a major tournament.
A great feeling for me, playing in, you know, Wembley, not far from where I grew up, you know, as a young boy and seeing the stadium get built. And it's great to get on the score sheet today, but most importantly, you know, I thought the team played brilliantly at times with the weather. We dug in and, you know, it's a great start.
It's been confirmed that the Denmark midfielder Christian Eriksen suffered a cardiac arrest when he collapsed in his nation's Euro 2020 opener against Finland on Saturday. The game was postponed as the former Spurs player Eriksen received treatment on the pitch but continued some 90 minutes later, with tournament debutants Finland winning 1-0. But Manchester United and Denmark legend Peter Schmeichel has criticised the decision to play the game to a conclusion.
Something terrible like that happens, and UEFA gives the players an option to go out and play the game, the last 55 minutes or wherever it was, or come back at 12 o'clock today. I mean, what kind of option is that? I couldn't understand the decision. I couldn't. And the game was irrelevant, totally.
West Ham winger Andrei Yarmolenko scored as Ukraine were beaten by the Netherlands in their Euro 2020 opener. The former Liverpool midfielder Jorginho Wijnaldum scored the opening goal for the Dutch, who were pegged back to 2-2 before winning the game 3-2 late on. And the Portugal and Manchester City defender João Cancelo has tested positive for COVID-19 2 days before their Euro 2020 opener against Hungary. The 27-year-old has been replaced by Manchester United's Diogo Dalot. The rest of the Portuguese squad tested negative and Cancelo will remain isolated. And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League Update from the home of Premier League football.
See the England game or are you paddleboarding?
No. I caught the end of the England game. It's their first ever Euro opening game win, isn't it?
Yeah, they played quite well, actually. It was a bit flat in the second half, but Foden should have scored early on when he hit the post. But, yeah, good start from England. Not bad at all.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
Tennis, Novak Djokovic came from two sets down to win the French Open against Stefanos Tsitsipas in Paris on Sunday. The 34-year-old Serb was in deep trouble against his Greek opponent before rediscovering his energy to come through 6-7, 2-6, 6-3, 6-2, 6-4. Victory for Djokovic brings him his 19th Grand Slam title, just one behind the men's record, which is jointly held by Rafael Nadal and Roger Federer. Cricket. England slumped to an 8-wicket defeat to lose the second test and the series against New Zealand. It took the tourists less than an hour on the fourth morning of the match at Edgbaston to wrap up the win, as England were bowled out for just 122 in their second innings. New Zealand then got to the modest target of 38 in a total of 41 for two. It was England's first home series defeat since 2014 and New Zealand's first success in England for 22 years. The win will give them a major confidence boost as they head into the World Test Championship final against India, which starts in Southampton on Friday. And in rugby union, Saracens have all but booked their return to the English Premiership as they hammered Ealing Trailfinders 60-0 in the first leg of the Championship playoff final. The huge margin of victory has rendered next Sunday's return leg little more than a formality, with Saracens effectively ensuring their absence from the top tier of English rugby will be for one season only.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine.
The coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Isle of Man in the VAR. The general situation is high pressure, 1,017 to 1,019 millibars over the region. Winds are easterly, force 1 to 3. The sea is calm. Visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint Jean Cap Ferrat, 1,018 millibars. And the outlook for Tuesday, clear skies, force 1 to 3 variable winds, calm seas, and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are variable or westerly, force 2 to 4, the sea is slight, visibility is good, barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,017 millibars, and the outlook for Tuesday, clear skies, force 2 to 4, easterly winds, slight seas, and good visibility.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine. For enhanced, high-performing connectivity on board your yacht, speak to our expert team today about our VSAT and 4G packages. Visit connectmyyacht.com. The weather forecast, brought to you by Servibat, the home closing specialist in Nice and Villefranche.
It's quite cloudy in Monaco at the moment, so I think it may be just a Monaco thing. It should be mainly fine with light to moderate southeasterly winds. Temperatures 25 to 27 degrees on the coast, up to 30 to 31 degrees inland in the VAR. Overnight lows 20 or 22 degrees with clear skies. Tuesday and Wednesday mainly fine, highs of 26 to 30 degrees.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Servibat Nice and Villefranche. For 30 years, specialising in home closures, windows, blinds, shutters, reinforced glazing and doors. Feel good at home. Visit servibat06.fr.
Finally,
Essex and London accents, linked with popular programmes such as EastEnders and TOWIE, are often judged as being less intelligent and trustworthy, according to a new study. Researchers in the University of Essex found that working-class accents are judged as less intelligent, friendly or trustworthy than middle-class people. Researchers said that when we hear someone talk, we often quickly make judgments about them and group them into categories. It was back in 2019 the Essex accent was voted the sexiest in the UK, with Birmingham coming bottom of the charts as the least sexy accent in the British Isles. A poll in 2020, however, found that the taste for British accents had shifted, with the Yorkshire accent coming out on top.
I quite like the Yorkshire accent. I haven't got a clue what they're saying, but I quite like it. In it, estuary English. Yes. You're up to date. The news is on the website, RivieraRadio.mc.